Substance abuse cases are popular at the oral exam because they are a good test of your interpersonal skills and your ability to control the case. You must take the lead with these patients, just as this candidate did in this case. Be kind, but be firm, and take control of the patient's care. The substance abuser, perhaps more than anyone else, is likely to be harboring a serious illness, a serious injury, or both. The critical actions of this case include the following. 1. Administers thiamine and glucose. 2. Diagnoses and treats hypokalemia. 3. Treats violent behavior and seizures with an IV benzodiazepine. 4. Treats increased intracranial pressure with hyperventilation. 5. Orders CT scan. And 6. Obtains neurologic consultation. Other appropriate actions include the following. Diagnosis and treatment of hypomagnesemia. IV of D5 normal saline with vitamin supplements. C-spine films. Blood alcohol. Tox screen. Post-intubation chest X-ray, and a post-intubation ABG to verify adequate hyperventilation. Alcohol withdrawal was apparent early on in this case. The vital signs were the first clue, hypertension and tachycardia. His general appearance, coupled with a florid facial appearance and diaphoresis, supported the diagnosis, and the tactile and visual hallucinations clinched it. Restraint is mandatory for the agitated alcoholic who will not or cannot cooperate for an adequate assessment, and he should not be considered competent to sign out of the emergency department against medical advice. A word of caution here about using restraints. Try using your interpersonal skills when dealing with a difficult patient before resorting to the use of restraints. I think you should attempt to talk to patients first, since there are some who will cooperate with a little reassurance and understanding. I don't believe that would have worked in this particular patient, but I think you should keep this point in mind. Thiamine should be given to prevent the Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome if alcoholism is suspected. Just as the comatose patient receives a glucose bolus, so should the patient with sudden onset of a behavioral change in the absence of a psychiatric history. Even if there is a psychiatric history, it may be advisable if the behavioral change was abrupt. On physical exam, this patient had very little evidence of a subdural hematoma. Bilateral hemorrhages seen on fundoscopic exam suggest a diffuse disease process, such as chronic hypertension, rather than a focal one. The only clue on physical exam was the finding of papilledema, signifying the presence of increased intracranial pressure. Remember that, since intracranial pressure is equal throughout the cranial vault, papilledema will be bilateral, not unilateral. I omitted obvious signs of head injury intentionally in this case because in some patients the only indication of a subdural hematoma is a sudden change in behavior or level of consciousness. The examiner purposely directed the candidate toward the patient's friend, Joe, in order to elicit this information. A long-acting benzodiazepine, such as Valium or Ativan, is the drug of choice for controlling both agitation and seizures. Large doses are often required to achieve adequate sedation. A typical protocol for Valium is 5 mg IV every 5 to 15 minutes as needed. Large or frequent doses may produce respiratory depression or even apnea, which can usually be managed with an airway and ambu bag until the blood level drops. Lorazepam, brand name Ativan, may be used instead of Valium, and it's the preferred agent in cirrhotics and is the agent most commonly used in most emergency departments today. It has a slower onset of action than Valium, but a longer duration of action, allowing for a more prolonged seizure-free interval. The dose is 2 to 4 milligrams IV every 15 to 30 minutes as needed. Valium, on the other hand, while having a longer half-life, actually has a shorter duration of action. At this point, I want to talk about the drug flumazenil, trade name Romazicon. Flumazenil is used to reverse the sedative effects of the benzodiazepines. You may wonder why I didn't mention this as an option for the patient with benzodiazepine-induced respiratory depression a few moments ago. Well, reversal of benzodiazepine effect in a seizure patient could precipitate his seizures again. This case is one of those times where reversal is contraindicated. Other contraindications to flumazenil are use in patients chronically on benzodiazepines and in overdose patients who also ingested cyclic antidepressants or other drugs or toxins known to precipitate seizures, such as organophosphates, salicylates, theophylline, lithium, cocaine, amphetamines, etc. Electrolyte disorders are common in alcoholics, particularly those in withdrawal. In addition to hypokalemia and hypomagnesemia, hypocalcemia often occurs as well, particularly in conjunction with the hypomagnesemia. Immediate treatment of hypokalemia is a critical action because of the high risk of cardiac dysrhythmias when the serum potassium falls below 2.5. Administration of magnesium sulfate to treat hypomagnesemia is an appropriate, although not critical, action, since hypomagnesemia is not a life-threatening problem. However, it may have precipitated the seizure in this patient. A serum calcium should have been ordered in this patient, since hypocalcemia often accompanies hypomagnesemia in the alcoholic. Hypomagnesemia inhibits the release of parathyroid hormone, or its action, or both, resulting in hypocalcemia. In this situation, calcium chloride administration transiently elevates the serum calcium. However, hypocalcemia recurs rapidly unless magnesium is also administered. Did this patient have symptomatic hypoglycemia? His serum glucose level was 65 milligrams per cent before the bolus was given. I doubt that this mild hypoglycemia had anything to do with the clinical picture, because the serum glucose usually has to be less than 50 milligrams per cent to be symptomatic. And how can you say this patient was in withdrawal when he had a measurable blood level of alcohol? Well, the answer to that one is this. A low alcohol level in a patient with a high alcohol tolerance can precipitate withdrawal. Alcoholics withdraw if they do not maintain their usual blood levels. Once a subdural hematoma is suspected, a CT scan should be done to confirm it. Cervical spine film should be taken prior to the scan, since neck movement is required for head positioning. Ideally, they should have been ordered and read early in case management. For many years, prophylactic hyperventilation has been used to prevent or reduce elevated intracranial pressure in patients with severe head injury. However, the use of prophylactic hyperventilation to a PCO2 less than or equal to 35 millimeters mercury during the first 24 hours after severe head injury should be avoided because it can compromise cerebral perfusion during a time when cerebral blood flow is reduced. It may be used for brief periods when there is acute neurologic deterioration. This includes signs of herniation. The use of hyperventilation following severe traumatic brain injury may help improve neurologic recovery following injury or at least avoid iatrogenic cerebral ischemia. In this case, we don't know how old the head injury was. We also don't know if the behavioral change was due to his alcoholism, the head injury, or both. But we do know that he had papilledema and a complex seizure, so I think it was very appropriate to hyperventilate him. I'd like to mention something about the Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome occasionally encountered in the alcoholic patient. The clinical diagnosis is made on physical exam. The findings are these: ataxia, confusion, and oculomotor disturbances. This patient didn't have the Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome, but yours might. Alcoholics with complicating illnesses and injuries are frequently encountered in most emergency departments, particularly around 2 or 3 in the morning. They are often difficult to assess and manage, and may be victims of potentially fatal illnesses or injuries. For these reasons, it behooves the oral board candidate to review the topic of alcoholism and its inherent complications. Another word of advice is this: check all alcoholics for evidence of injury, both new and old. This is the end of the third case study.